Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible today, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, beginning at verse 17. "These great beasts, which are four, are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given unto the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom." Heavenly Father, please help us today. Lord, this preacher, please help me. Jesus said, "For truly you can do nothing without me," and I believe that. I believe that I'm a preacher of the gospel, but I can't do anything without you. Please help me today. Lord, help me to preach your word. And those listening, Father, help them to understand what your word says. Help them to understand what it means. Lord, not my interpretation. Who cares what I think it means? But please speak to your people. And we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we study the book of Daniel, we're talking about end times prophecy. And most of what is mentioned here has not come to pass yet. Prophecy tells the future. As we've studied earlier in this book and in Exodus and other places, we've seen Christ prophesied about, Christ foretold. We read about his first coming, and he came exactly as the prophets said he would. And we understand that Christ came the first time and will come again to set up his kingdom and to put down all unrighteousness. And his kingdom and his righteousness will last forever. I am a preacher of the gospel. This is a, if you want to use the word, religious program. It's not a political program, and I try the best that I can to stay away from political topics. I've made a comment here or there, and I may make a comment again in the future at some point. But I try to stay away from political discussion on this program. Now, in studying these chapters in Daniel that talk about the end times, It mentions various kingdoms that arise. You can call that geopolitics, I suppose. You've got major players here and there. I believe perhaps most notably is the Antichrist, this little horn that arises later, it says. He's a political figure that will arise shortly. When, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it does say that the Antichrist will rise. And he's a ruler of some sort. There's politics that he will interplay with and manipulate, perhaps. But I want to try and stay away from political comments or political analysis on this program. I understand that many preachers, teachers, commentators will make certain statements about the politics in this country or perhaps in Europe. And in private, I have my beliefs. I have my stance. Politically, I'm a conservative. I think if you listen to me any length of time, you figure that out pretty shortly. But I want to keep my thoughts politically, my political leanings, my political analysis, I want to keep them off of this program as much as possible. Other commentators, they will say what they will. I want to try and stay away from it, if at all possible. But along with political commentary, many Bible teachers, preachers, what have you, will look at current events, and they'll go to Ezekiel or Daniel or Genesis or some place in the Bible, and they'll see a current event, something happening perhaps in Israel, something in Iran, something. And they will say, well, we think this event that happened last week or last month or yet last year, we think that this event was foretold in the Scriptures. Now, certainly, prophecy in the Bible exists, and it is true, and the things that the Bible prophesies about will come to pass. The Antichrist will arise. The Antichrist will do a number of things that the Bible talks about. It will happen. So at some point, because we know the Bible is true, someone will be able to pick up his Bible and notice that the Antichrist did such and so, and the Bible says that he would do it, and that will have been a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. This fourth beast that's mentioned in this chapter, the one with iron teeth and what have you, most Bible commentators, most scholars, believe that that is the Roman Empire. And if that's so, and we believe it is, but again, we may be mistaken in our analysis. If that's so, then the Antichrist will arise from some country, somewhere in the region that the old Roman Empire covered, we think. And anyone familiar with history, and particularly history of the Roman Empire, understands that part of the Roman Empire at one time was behind the Iron Curtain. And commentators for decades, Bible scholars, preachers, what have you, would look at the map and say, well, these countries, they used to belong to the Roman Empire, but now they're locked up behind the Iron Curtain. The satellite nations of Russia, in Eastern Europe, what have you. And understanding from Scripture that the Antichrist would rule over this area again, and Eastern Europe and what have you would have a part in end times prophecy. Many Bible commentators said, well, at some point, Russia has to be defeated. They didn't understand how Russia would give up Eastern Europe without a fight. And looking back, we know, obviously, that Eastern Europe went free. The Iron Curtain fell, essentially without a shot being fired. But the commentators, before the Iron Curtain fell, they all pretty much agreed that there's going to be a shooting war. The Cold War would heat up. Maybe the tanks in Germany would roll or something. And Russia would be defeated. And that she would have to give up the satellite nations. They all pretty much agreed that that's what would happen. But we know from history that that's not what happened at all. You say, Brother Kelly, what's your point? My point is this. It's very easy to look at current events and get so tuned in to what's happening, to watch the news every day or to study various things on the internet or what have you, and come to a conclusion that, well, we think we understand this, and over here in Ezekiel or in Joel it says this or that, and we think we understand. And sometimes commentators, as the example I gave with Russia, fall into a trap. They get spiritual blinders, as it were. Now, the Bible is true. There's no question the Bible is true. There's no question that Eastern Europe had to go free. But they looked at current events. They looked at politics. The Cold War, would have you. And they were so sure that there had to be a shooting war. There had to be some sort of invasion. There had to be some liberation of Eastern Europe. They were so sure. Hundreds of them, thousands of them, all said that they knew what would happen. And they were all mistaken. It's very easy to get caught up in the moment and to misinterpret the Word of God. Again, I'm a conservative. And this country, America, right now is in a very difficult spot. And I have opinions. I have conclusions. I have observations. And I think I understand a few things. And I could come to you and say, well, this is what I believe. But I may be wrong. God may have it turn out some other way. Likewise, international politics. The trouble that we're having with Iran, for instance. I have opinions. Most Christians do, I suppose. But I may be mistaken. And God may have the thing work out some other way. I don't know the future. You don't know the future. No one knows the future but God. Now, please don't misunderstand. God knows the future, and He writes it down in the form of prophecy. And He does so because He loves us, and He wants us to understand what's coming. I want to say that again. God gives us Bible prophecy because He loves us and He cares for us. Things are going to get pretty bad here in America, perhaps. Maybe whenever it is that the Antichrist comes on the scene. Could be next week, could be 1,000 years from now. I don't know. And the Bible doesn't say when. But we need to remember that we are God's children. And God loves us. And He tells us the end from the beginning because He cares for us. In Matthew chapter 24, the disciples were concerned about the end times. They didn't understand a lot of things, but they knew that Jesus would one day set up His kingdom. And that kingdom is mentioned in Daniel chapter 7. And also Daniel chapter 2. You can bet on it. You can bank on it. As far as God is concerned, it's a done deal. Jesus will return to this earth, and he will set up his kingdom, which shall not be destroyed. But in Matthew chapter 24, the disciples were asking about it. They wanted to know. It says here in verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" It's natural to see the news and wonder, what's next? Or how is this situation going to resolve? It's natural to want to know that. 2,000 years ago, the disciples were asking questions. But he answered them this way. In verse 4, he answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Now think about that. Take heed that no man deceive you. He says in verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." We're looking for the return of the Lord. And when he comes, the Bible says, every eye will see him. There'll be no mistaking it when Christ returns. But he said that there are going to be many that come and will pretend to be, or claim to be, or appear to be, Jesus. He says, take heed that no man deceive you. But in verse 6, which is why I turn to this passage, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows." And he goes on for the rest of the chapter. But he says, "See that you be not troubled. See that you be not troubled." God cares about you. God cares about his church. He cares for you. As I study and prepare for these messages, as I pray and ask God for understanding, as I ask him to help me to preach, and as I meditate on the scriptures, again and again, I find the Lord filling my heart with care and compassion for you, my listeners. I want you to be strengthened in the faith. I want you to grow in stature, as Paul said. I want your relationship with the Lord to grow sweeter and closer. I preached a couple of weeks ago that there is a hidden, inner, secret walk and relationship with God that is available to the Christian that the world doesn't know anything about. And in studying these years for this program, the Lord has revealed himself to me in a greater way, and I'm so thankful for what he's done in my heart and life. And I'm glad that the Lord is faithful to give bread to the eater, as it says in Isaiah chapter 55. But the rest of that verse talks about seed to the sower. He's moved upon my heart in a powerful way now, like I said, for 3.5 years. That's how long I've been on this station. But along with his sweet presence, he's placed in my heart a great desire to see my listeners draw closer to him. And I'd like to close the program this way, with another prayer for you. Heavenly Father, please minister to those that are listening. Please touch their hearts. I believe you've shown me a glimpse of heaven as I've sought your face for this program. And I'm happy, but I'm not satisfied. I want you to move in their hearts as well. I don't know when Christ will return. We're not told when that is. But the apostles look for Jesus' return, and they worked as if he could come in their lifetime. They had persecution, they were in trouble and travail, and they cared for their flocks. But Lord, please reveal yourself in a greater way to my listeners. Lord, help them in everything they do. Open your word to them. Lead them by your Spirit, as your word says. And help them to get their eyes off of the world, off of circumstances, and on to the Lord. For as your word says, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Lord, help my listeners. In Jesus' name, amen.
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation's sword, where could I go but to the Lord? Fellas, will you tell me, where could I go? When I am seeking a refuge for my soul, when I am a needing a friend that's able to save me in the end, where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them, everyone. We all get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? I need for you to tell me, I go. Tell me, where could I go when I am seeking a refuge for my soul? When I am needing a friend that's able to save me in the end, tell me, where could I go but to the Lord? With friends I love so dear, comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Tell me why. When I am seeking a refuge for my soul, when I am needed.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.